All right, and we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast. Still live from Mobile. We still have a lot going on, of course, but of course we're going to get a podcast episode in for you guys just because that's what we're here down for. That's what we're down here for, I should say. And I know some of you guys could not be down here, so we want to provide you unlimited coverage, and that's exactly what we are here for. So, Jonah, we're still here, man. We're making it through. So, how you holding up, man?
Yeah, it's awesome, man. We're trying to be the eyes and ears of the people who obviously can't be here. But yeah, man, day two was awesome. I think day two is one of the most important days. I think it's, you know, the day where these prospects can settle in. So, you know, because now they're not in shells anymore. They're in full pads. So first day of that. So a big day, a lot of big standouts. And we're going to be talking about some of those guys, both teams. But yeah, I can't wait for this podcast to get going, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited just because we had an idea of some of the guys that we wanted to talk about, but we had to narrow it down a little bit just because we were so excited
about so many guys.
Yeah, so many guys that are really catching our eye and impressing. But I want to jump right into this thing. So the North, we're going to switch it up a little bit. Last time we went with the South first, so we're going to go with the North team first, a team that we found very interesting. But one player that has really caught your eye, and it's really hard for this position to stand out just because you don't really get to see them do a whole bunch just because the offensive linemen aren't moving as fast and the defensive linemen are moving at a NASCAR-like pace just because the scheme is a little bit easier on defense for them to just, you know, go vertical as opposed to the offensive line where they have to read and pull and, you know, jump set and a whole bunch of other things that they have to do. But Josh Kelly, the running back from UCLA, a guy that has really caught your eye. Just go in depth about him a little bit.
Yeah, so if you watch Josh Kelly's UCLA tape, you see a guy who uses like a bell cow guy who gets like 20, 25 carries a game. Doesn't show a lot of juice. I mean, this guy kind of just like, you know, gets what's there. He is kind of like an okay kind of guy. But if you watch him in Mobile, man, I think he's really separated himself from the rest of these running backs in terms of, you know, those quick, elusive cuts in the open field. I mean, he's really the only back I've really noticed in terms of the team stuff where you get, you know, you get more than what's there. I think he's really separated himself in that regard as a runner because, you know, as a receiver, you know, there's only so many routes you can run as a running back, right? You know, the Texas route, the wheel route, you know, flat. There's really so much you can do from the, out of the backfield that the linebacker doesn't already know what you're doing. So that's kind of hard and unrealistic for running backs to do in that situation. But pass protection drills, I think Kelly's like the best too. So you got pass protection drills in terms of just being a pure ball carrier, making those sharp cuts. I think Kelly's looked like the best back here. I don't think it's even been close, especially on the North squad. You got guys like Jermichael Hasty and all these guys. So I really do think that it's Kelly, and then there's a tier below. I think that's how it's been in practice this week for both teams. And so that's why Kelly is my North star of Wednesday. I think he proved that a lot of that on yesterday's practice.
And then something that you notice with running backs is that you can find out really quickly which guy has juice as far as long speed down the field, how quick are their feet, are they able to make these precise cuts behind the line of scrimmage just because you have to be able to create. And we talked about this yesterday. With vision, you have to be able to see behind the line of scrimmage of what's going on. And you can really get a good test of some guy's vision in an event like this just because there's so much chaos going on. Guys don't really know what they're doing. Guys are false starting. And a lot of players have just looked – they've looked out of whack in a sense, but Josh Kelly has maintained his poise. He stayed intact, and he's had some really nice runs. So, kudos to him.
And there's a with Josh Kelly, he's really consistently been the only running back that's gone to the second level in all those team drills. And a big reason why is our guy Temple Center Matt Hennessy. Yeah. I know you're really high on him, so go into him on that.
Yeah, and that's a really good segue. I'm really glad that you went right into that. Hennessy, man, he's surprised the heck out of me. I didn't expect him to measure in at 6'4", 305-plus pounds. Just because he looks a little bit smaller on film, I thought he was going to be around 6'2", 6'3", and just a shade under 300 pounds. So seeing him come in, he passed the eye test, of course, and now he's doing the same thing at practice. His anchor has been outstanding. He's been stymieing everybody's hands that he's went up against. So I'm a big fan of him, and a lot of these runs that Kelly has taken the distance has been a result of what Hennessy has been able to do. And he had a block yesterday where he was able to seal the nose, and Kelly, he had about a 40-yard gain on that and it ended up being a touchdown. So Hennessy has been outstanding, man, and he's played himself into a top 75 pick.
I got to tell you, I think he's going to be one of the two or three – best centers in this draft when it's all said and done. I mean, you talk about guys like Lloyd Cushenberry, Ruiz from Michigan, and then you got a guy like Matt Hennessy. I think he can play. I think he's going to be the perfect zone blocking center with his ability to reach three techniques, get to the second level, wall him off. I just love his ability to move and get across the second level. But even in a power scheme, and this guy has proven a lot this week in the one-on-ones in terms of pass protection, getting movement at the point of attack and the run blocking drills. I'm a big fan of Matt Hennessy, and I'm a big fan of his tape. I remember watching his tape in October and thinking, you know, why isn't anybody talking about this guy? You know, I did have questions about his play strength, and I think a lot of those concerns I had have really been answered, you know, in Mobile, whereas, you know, the weigh-in and, you know, and going into, you know, these one-on-ones and holding his own at the point of attack. But I'm a big fan of Matt Hennessy, and I'm glad you are too.
Yeah, and that's why it's always important to come to events like this, just because you can watch so many All-22 clips or YouTube or however you choose to watch some of these guys, but it's just different seeing them in person, how they move around, how's their demeanor, are they a leader, are they a quiet guy? So there's a lot of checkboxes that these guys can mark off, in a sense, and Hennessy has done every single thing leading up to this week, and then he's executed throughout the week as well. So really interesting prospect that I'm interested in. But next guy we'll talk about, Michigan. We don't really know what to do with this guy, but he's been flying around making plays everywhere from edge rusher. They played him inside at linebacker a little bit, in a sense, but most of his plays have came when he is off of the edge, just like how he was in the Wolverines defense. And that's Josh Uche, the edge rusher for the Wolverines. Really interesting guy, a bit of a smaller guy, undersized a bit, but he doesn't let that stop him at all. And he's been able to continue the path that he's been on, and he's a well-seasoned pass rusher. And his hand usage and his power has been really good at the point of attack.
And what's crazy is that it's not even his pass rush ability that's really impressed me the most about him this week. It's his pass coverage drops.
Yeah.
And I think you saw most of that on Wednesday. Tuesday, you saw more of him as a pass rusher, kind of in his own element there, you know, spin moves, dipping around the edge. I think he did a great job that on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he worked a lot with the running backs and tight ends and man coverage. And that's going to be big for him because he measured in at 6'1", 241. And, you know, kind of like Jannard Avery-ish in terms of size profile coming out of Memphis. So he's going to be asked to play off ball a little bit, I bet, in the NFL. And I think it was big for him to show that he could do that. Because I don't think teams were going to view him just solely as an edge rusher when you're that, you know, when you have that kind of height at 6'1". Mm-hmm. So being able to show that you can drop back in coverage and be reliable in that department means just leaps and bounds for his draft stock, because now he has that kind of versatility to play both. That just, you know, showing that, you know, ability to play both just means so much for him. So big kudos to Josh Uche for playing good in coverage on Wednesday. And he, obviously, he was a guy that, you know, no one could really block on the off the edge, you know, and those team drills as well. Too fast, too much speed off the edge. He's going to be a versatile chess piece for a defense next year.
He is, and I like him as a sub-package rusher, in a sense, just because you can move him all over. Some of those NASCAR-type packages where they just like to get speed on the field, and third down and obvious passing situations, I think that's where he's going to be best utilized. But he's a guy that can play all three downs just because of how consistent he is against the run. But setting the edge is going to be a bit of a challenge for him. But, I mean, it hasn't been so far here in Mobile. So that's another mark or another question he's been able to answer. So Josh Uche, definitely keep an eye on him in the game on Saturday and also the last practice today. Really excited about him and his future. But before we move on to our last three players from the North, here's a word from our sponsors. All right, we are back to finish up our discussion with the North team players. And this guy has really caught my eye. He's from my home state. He played football, I should say, or he played in my home state, but he's not officially from North Carolina, just went to school there in Chapel Hill. He was the leader of that defense on the first level, and his versatility has just been outstanding. And you don't go into a week really focusing on some guys, but there's just some guys that just grab your attention. That's exactly what he has done, and that's Jason Strobridge, the defensive lineman from UNC. Inside-out versatility. They've played him at 3 technique. They've played him at 5 technique. Doesn't matter. He has fantastic hand power. He's been able to penetrate the line of scrimmage every single day that he has been here. And there's bigger name guys along the defensive line, but he's one guy that has been – he's forced you to pay attention to him in a sense. And that's what I like about this event, just because you go into a week not really paying attention to some guys, but there's just some guys that, like, pay attention to me. I'm going to make some noise down here. Yeah. That's exactly what he's done.
Absolutely. And he's also a guy that you didn't really know what position he was going to play. I mean, he played all over the field at North Carolina. He played, you know, edge rusher, five technique, three technique. Didn't really know what he was. And he showed up at, you know, 6'3", 267. So you're like, do I use him as a three technique at 267? And so, like, the Senior Bowl doesn't care because it seems like he has his best success right there inside. I mean, no guard could handle him inside with his quickness. He's able to win off the edge with his explosiveness. So you can, I think you can use him in a variety of different ways. And I think, as you saw, you know, at the weigh-in, he can put on a lot more pounds on his frame if he wanted to. I think it's clear that he lost the weight to show, you know, teams that he can play off the edge. When I talked to him at Media Day, he was really emphasizing that he wanted to play defensive end because he knows that he has that kind of potential. He didn't really get an opportunity to show that for the Tar Heels in terms of being a pure edge rusher. So I think with his athletic traits and what he showed this week, not only just at the weigh-in, but I think at the first two practices, I think Stover's going to be a big riser when we get here, you know, in the pre-draft process this spring.
I agree. Another player that I definitely did not have a star beside going into the week, but exiting this event, he definitely will have a dot beside his name once I do my recap of players that have stood out the most. But I want to move on. A stand on the defensive side of the ball, but a Golden Domer. Notre Dame, a guy that has really stuck out a lot. Another guy we didn't have a huge eye on going into the week,
yeah,
but he's forced you to grab, he's grabbed your attention in a sense, and that's Troy Pride Jr.
Absolutely.
Just go in depth about him a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
You know, whenever Christian Fulton and Jeff Gladney dropped out, it was one of those things where, which cornerback is going to step up? And to me, when you look at his speed, his quickness, just the physical profile, everything about it, I thought Troy Pride had a big opportunity this week because, to me, I think he has all the traits just on paper, the starting resume, Notre Dame being, you know, 3 or 4 years of production, has the speed, quickness. He has everything you look for in, like, a starting cornerback, but sometimes on tape he just doesn't put it all together. I think his inconsistent technique, inconsistent ball skills, whatever it may be, if something wasn't right to where it was just consistent tape this year. But here in Mobile, he has been lights out. I think he's been the stickiest man coverage corner so far this week. You know, in his one-on-one drills, you get to see, you know, who are the man corners from the zone corners, I bet. I think Pride Jr., to me, has, like, again, I think he's been the stickiest corner here, best feet, and he's running routes for receivers most times. There was a route against Courtney Davis to where it was an out route, I believe, on Wednesday's practice, mm-hmm. where he just jumped the route outside. I don't know if he guessed it or not because it looked so sudden, so quick, it looked like he guessed it. But man, you can just tell how quick his feet are now, you know, fast he is. Talked on yesterday's podcast about how, you know, some guys just have a wider margin of error than others, you know, with their recovery speed, their quickness. They can make errors at the line of scrimmage with their hands. A guy like Troy Pride Jr., he has a wide margin of error because of how athletic he is. I think you saw that on the North practice Wednesday. And I think he's by far, to me, looking like the best outside cornerback on both teams.
Definitely. And we always talk about relishing your opportunity. And with guys like Fulton and Gladney dropping out, it was a prime opportunity for one of these cornerbacks to step up in their absence just because there wasn't another headliner name in this group. And Troy Pride Jr. has definitely done that. So really excited about that in his future. But I want to continue on. We're going to flip to the other side of the ball and talk about Denzel Mims, the wide receiver from Baylor. You're on record as saying he's been the best wide receiver down here in Mobile,
right.
And I agree. He's been able to create separation, and I think a common misconception about Mims is that he's just a vertical threat, and he has proven the opposite of that. He's been able to run some well-diverse routes and show off his route tree, and he's been able to create separation, and we both know separation is king in the NFL, and with Mims being able to show that and then showing consistent hands as well, I think he's a big winner from the week so far.
Yeah, to me, Denzel Mims, in terms of vertically stacking, finishing at the catch point, just running good routes for a guy his size. I think he's just been the most impressive player, pound for pound, the wide receiver position through the first two practices. You look at his performance on Wednesday, man, I don't think anyone could guard him without holding him. I can't remember how many times I saw the yellow flags come out every time.
Yeah.
But he was still finishing plays, no matter, you know, how many times he got held. He was still catching the ball, so that couldn't even stop him. Denzel Mims, to me, is the big winner. This wide receiver group. You talk about Brandon Ayuk, unable to play physical for the hip injury. And then you got other guys that had to pull out as well, like Brian Edwards. So there had to be a guy to step up, similar to Troy Pride Jr. And I think Denzel Mims was in for a big opportunity. You know, Big 12 teams, they don't play a lot of press coverage, so he gets a big opportunity to show, hey, I can get off clean at the line of scrimmage. And there's no player, I think, that's helped their draft stock more at the position this week than Denzel Mims because You know, there's a lot of unproven tape. You know, the only time he played press coverage was against Jeff Gladney at TCU. So I think just showing that he can go consistently against the best of the best and win, man, I think it's just a big week and a big day for Denzel Mims.
Definitely. So I want to transition now to the South team. And we've talked about that. I think this team is a little bit more talented as far as what they have shown throughout the week. And I want to talk about a couple of LSU interior offensive linemen. First, I want to talk about Damian Lewis, who was a late addition, along with Lloyd Cushenberry, who we'll get into in a second. Both of these guys were late additions. But Lewis, we know about his nastiness, but he's been able to show off some good feet as well. Him and Javon Kinlaw have had some really good reps going back and forth with each other. But Lewis is a bit undersized, but he does not let that stop him from being a dog in the trenches. That's exactly what he has showed so far in Mobile.
Yeah, I think this, the biggest thing that stood out is just his heavy hands. I think you see that on tape. He's a mauler. I mean, just a mean street kind of guy. But like you said, the footwork has really surprised me. I think this guy's mirrored, you know, well inside, just stay in front of pass rushers, interior pass rushers. It was a very rough time for those interior defensive linemen. We're talking about it after practice. We're like, which South interior defensive lineman other than, you know, Kinlaw really stood out to you? Because I can't really think of one, right?
No, yeah.
I mean, Benito Jones, Josiah Cotney, they got either stonewalled by guys like Cushenberry and Lewis. And to me, I've always thought Lewis to be on tape, to be just, you know, like a run blocker, power guy, but like kind of like only, you know, locked into those kind of schemes where he was in a, you know, a phone booth. Man, I think he can, he moves a lot better than I thought he would. And I think that was a big day for him yesterday to show that he has the feet to mirror these guys interior. I'm a big fan of Lewis, and I'm going to definitely have to go back to his tape to watch more, because I think he has starting guard traits.
Yeah, and go back and watch the Arkansas game. He was absolutely
obliterating people. That's one game I didn't watch,
He was obliterating people in that game, and that's the game that really put me on to him as far as, you know, I would say a B-plus level starter that I think he can be at the next level.
Yeah.
And I keep reiterating this. That's why it's so important to come to events like this, just because you don't know how well some guys move based off tape. And being in these practices, you can see how they move around. You can see how they compete. He's been a fantastic competitor. Even talking a little junk to Javon Kinlaw, some of these other interior defensive linemen, I should say. I just love that about him. I love offensive linemen that play with a little bit of an edge. And he already plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well, being an undersized guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always talked about this with interior offensive linemen in an all-star game format. These one-on-one drills are kind of unrealistic because you don't have, you know, a guy next on your right or left. And when it's a situation where, you know, you have stunts going and all that. But you're rarely in a one-on-one situation if you're, you know, a guard or a center, truly. But I think it's just, you know, these one-on-one reps above all else for interior offensive linemen show if you can move or not. I think, you know, can you handle the quickness inside? Can you handle all that? Even though it's an unrealistic situation most times, I do think it shows you, you know, it will expose some interior offensive linemen for bad hips, bad feet. And Damian Lewis so far has looked like one of the best guards here. So he's definitely someone I'm going to go back to and watch. But, man, this LSU offensive line, I mean, they look like they step off the bus from the national championship and just dominated, right? And
right.
So I know you like Lloyd Cushenberry a lot. You've been on him as one of the top centers since August, man. And, you know, I'm on the train with you. I think he's the top center in this draft. What has he really shown you in Mobile that really stood out to you?
I've been banging the table for this guy since watching his film from last year, man. I'm a huge fan of him, but I love centers to have a presence in a room. And then after interviewing him the other day, you can feel like his vibe in a room. He can just control a room. He loves being in control of everything, and he just enjoys being the nucleus of the attack. And that's something that he kept talking about when I interviewed him after practice on Tuesday. He just kept talking about it, kept talking about it. I just love pointing out protections, pointing guys where to go, and that's something that you love to see in a young guy, just because a lot of guys at an event like this, they get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell in their mind, it speeds up their body in practice, but he's made a seamless transition in this game.
Absolutely.
You talk about both of these guys just played in a national championship a few days ago, and then they come here, they step off the bus right away, and they have a similar type of effect. But he's surprisingly – I knew he moved well, but play strength was something that I had a huge question mark about him, just because he was a bit all over the place when he was at LSU, and his base gets kind of sloppy at times. But the way he sinks in his blocks, he leverages so good, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I love him. And he's been able to defeat Javon Kinlaw a lot of times just because he plays a little bit lower than a lot of other players. So, Cushenberry, I'm a big fan of him. But what's some things you like about Cushenberry?
Now, I got to tell you, like you said, you talk about the power issues you saw on tape and then you translate to Mobile. He's looked like he's washed away those concerns. I'm the same way, man. I got to tell you, when you went against it's Kinlaw, like all the balance issues I saw on tape, all the ability to, you know, hold his anchor there, I was like, man, I might have to go back and watch Cushenberry again because this guy is stonewalling everybody in pass protection. And obviously, as a run blocker, he does his thing, zone block, reach three techniques in the team drills, does all that really well. Just creates holes for that south running attack. I'm a big fan of Cushenberry. I think he's really – I think, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, he's going to cement himself as a top center in this draft. Yeah. I think with, you know, the intangibles, the, you know, the pedigree, winning the national championship, and then coming here to Mobile and just competing. Yeah. You know, he said not being overwhelmed. Man, to do that and, you know, learn a whole new kind of like, you know, playbook, kind of take all the new calls from the new coaching staff, do all that in such short notice. Yeah, I think it's really going to speak a lot to his mental processing. And at center, we've talked about, you're the quarterback of the offensive line. And above all other positions on the offensive line, the center needs to have that quick mental trigger. And I think Cushenberry showed that he can take on that kind of speed of NFL knowledge. So I think that's going to be big for a coaching staff. And I think it's going to be a big reason why he's going to be the top center in this draft.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams out there that need the center, the Panthers, the Jets, and the list goes on and on. These teams that need interior offensive line.
Oh, absolutely.
At the top of the second round, I mean, if I'm a team that needs a center, he definitely would be the top target on my board. So really interested to see how he finishes up this week. But before we move on and get to our final three guys from the South team, here's a quick word from our sponsors. All right, finishing up with the South prospects, and this is one guy I definitely haven't watched coming into the event, but I love how he's moved around. And we talk about this tight end group. There were some headliner names, Bryson Hopkins, Adam Troutman, Harrison Bryant, amongst some others as well. But this guy has probably stuck out the most, and he was the one guy we didn't highlight at all, and that's Josiah DeGuara, the tight end from Cincinnati. So just talk about what you've seen from him this week and some positive traits that you like.
So if y'all don't know, I sit next to Jordan during these practices, and we watch him from the press box. We kind of got an eagle's eye view of everybody. I think I tapped Jordan on the shoulder 30 times each day about Josiah DeGuara making plays. I think he's probably sick and tired of it at this point, but as I do it so much. But Josiah DeGuara, man, I think he's looked far and away the best tight end here in Mobile. And he's just a guy running routes against his safeties. You know, guys like Kyle Duggar looks so phenomenal with his movement skills. We'll talk about him later as one of the standout guys, because he's been simply phenomenal in coverage, whereas making interceptions or pass breakups. But there's one guy that these safeties have not been able to guard yet. It's Josiah DeGuara, and that includes Kyle Duggar. On Tuesday, DeGuara got him a couple of reps, and on Wednesday, he got him on a rep as well. If there's one guy that these safeties and linebackers have not been able to guard, it's DeGuara. And to me, he was one of the big winners of the weigh-in. 6'3", 245, rocked up dude. And he had, I think, had the best build of any tight end there. I thought on tape he was the best blocker of all the tight ends here. I mean, I thought, because he was such a good blocker, I thought, you know, possibly an H-back, possibly a fullback. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was that tall. I didn't think he was that long. But he ended up coming in, you know, at 6'3". I think it was big for him to do that. 245, also a good weight for him. I do believe this guy can stretch the field. I believe he's a lot faster than I thought he was. I think he moves a lot better than I thought, you know, I gave him credit for. And then the strong natural hands. I haven't seen this guy drop a pass all week. You talk about, you know, guys like Jared Pinkney, Stephen Sullivan, all that Harrison Bryant. These guys have dropped passes, easy ones, concentration ones, ones at the catch point. They've been struggled to separate. The one guy that has checked all those boxes that I didn't think would. Josiah DeGuara.
Yeah.
His best trait on tape is a blocker. And I didn't really know so much as a pass catcher. Man, he's been the best pass catcher, no doubt, in this tight end group. And this is a guy that I think is going to rise a lot of boards with his, you know, mental processing, character. Talked to him before, you know, practice yesterday. Really sharp dude. And I think he's really going to win over a lot of teams with his tape than what he's shown it here at Mobile.
Really excited about him. He's definitely one guy I'm going to have some homework to do going back and just watching him. He's going to be at the top of the list of a guy I go back and watch. So really excited about DeGuara. He's had a really, really good event. But I think one of the biggest storylines exiting this event is we're going to talk about how the small school players have stood out the most. Now, guys like Justin Herbert, Javon Kinlaw, who we talked about plenty, Lloyd Cushenberry, some of the more higher-ranked guys in this event, of course, they've looked the part. But the small school guys, what you worry about with them is that are they able to transition and make this leap in competition, just because it's something that they haven't simply seen before. And a guy like Kyle Duggar, man, he's probably impressed me the most out of all the lowly named prospects that we haven't named so far. He's been the most impressive to me.
Oh,
and I think of any defensive back in this event, he's looked the best to me.
I think there's one big winner. If you want one singular big winner from this entire event this week, it's going to be Kyle Duggar. Whether it started at the weigh, I mean, this guy measuring at 6'1", 217, 33-inch arms. I mean, that's just a safety, man. Yeah. You can't look like a safety more than that. Wide shoulders, this guy just looks the part, passes the eye test immediately. And then he goes in and does what he does, come out of Lenore Ryan. You know, we talked about this with the staff the other day, and it was one of those things where, if Javon Kinlaw has a big week, it's okay. I mean, he just kind of checks the boxes. But a guy from Lenore Ryan has a big week, that's a big deal because these small school guys, the big jumping competition,
yep.
They haven't played the guys from Clemson. They haven't played guys from LSU. So Kyle Duggar having as dominant of a week as he has this week, I think it's turned a lot of heads.
Yeah.
You know, you look at guys like Ali Marpet, Kevin Byard, all these guys coming from small schools, Nasir Adderley, having big weeks. It's been a lot for the draft stock, and I think it's going to be a lot for Kyle Duggar. It would not surprise me at all if he's a top 50 pick, and if he's the third or fourth safety taken after, the Grant Delpit, Xavier McKinney's. Because, I don't know about you, coming in this week, you put me on his Lenore Ryan tape mm-hmm. early on, about mm-hmm. August, September. I thought he was more of a sub-package linebacker.
Me too.
And then you come into this game, he's playing deep safety.
Yeah.
Playing slot corner, playing box safety, cover man coverage. And man, he's just been all over the field, showing great ball skills. I mean, This guy has, I think, competed better at the catch point than any safety, in most corners, even here at any defensive back here at Mobile. So, Duggar, a lot of coverage potential. I'm going to have to go back to his Lenore Ryan tape and see that, because to me, I thought I saw a sub-package linebacker, but he's shown much more than that in Mobile. I think he's going to be one of the top safeties when it's all said and done.
Definitely, and I think the ball skills is something that surprised me a lot, just because I only think he has like two career interceptions.
So right.
There hasn't been a lot of ball.
He had more than two interceptions yesterday.
Yeah, he had a really nice one against Jared Pinkney.
Absolutely.
In the one-on-one portions of practice, which I wrote about a little bit in my recap. So, really excited about him and see how he finishes this week. And I think he has another prime opportunity at the final practice today to really cement his status as a top 50 to 75 pick. I think that's a fair range for him. But staying on the small school train, and I think of any offensive lineman, I think this guy has looked the best. And I love Lloyd Cushenberry to death, but I think he's played even better than Lloyd Cushenberry has to this point. And that's Ben Bartsch, the small school offensive tackle from St. John's of Minnesota. And you talk about balance, power, and he's just looked on schedule and remained poised. I think those are some of the characteristics that he has shown this week. And then going against Terrell Lewis, Anthony Jennings in practice. And just think about a small school guy like him. He's been going against D3 competition. And then before you know it, in the blink of an eye, he's going against Alabama guys. But he's maintained his poise. He hasn't been starstruck at all. And he stayed in front of every guy he has blocked so far in Mobile. So really excited about him. But just talk a little bit about Bartsch and what you have seen from him.
Yeah, whereas Duggar is the biggest winner for the defense, Bartsch is the biggest winner for the offense of the week. And I think, like you said, small school guys, if there's one player that has to really prove something in these All-Star game events, is these small school guys. Then you have big weeks. And, Ben Bartsch has really answered the bell. And like you said, about Ali Marpet coming out of Hobart. Nobody really knew about him until he dominated that Senior Bowl week. Same thing with Bartsch. I think Bartsch gained a lot of fans this week. You remember Nathan Shepard 2 years ago?
Absolutely.
Fort Hays State?
Yeah.
I can't remember watching a single snap when I didn't know where Fort Hays State was coming to this game. But, man, he dominated every rep. Same thing with Ben Bartsch. I think he's going to have a lot of eyes on him next week going, man, we got to watch this guy because he, his length, his feet, his hands, they all work in sync. This guy, the moment didn't seem too big for him. The speed doesn't seem a lot for him. I just think that he's not overwhelmed by anything right now. That's so huge for a guy, coming in from St. John's. I'm a big fan of Bartsch. I think he can play left or right side. I think he can play inside as well.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't seen him play a little bit of guard or center here. But, I mean, he had a great weigh-in. Talk about guys 6'6", 308, 33-inch arms. I'm a fan of Bartsch. I think Bartsch is really going to rise up a lot of boards, especially with his ability to play tackle or guard.
Definitely. And we talk about guys coming into an event like this where they can showcase themselves. And there isn't a lot of people going through St. John's, Minnesota. Of course, the NFL scouts have. But us, it's really hard to get the film on him. But shout out to Scotty Wright from Draft Countdown. He actually sent me the film of him a few months ago. And I was like, man, this kid can play. And I put up some clips about him and wrote a story on him. Of course, most of you guys have seen the tweet about the milkshake, the awful milkshake that he has drank to gain 80-plus pounds during his time in one summer where he transitioned from tight end to offensive line. And that's what you get a lot of times with these small school guys, just because they aren't heavily recruited and they just have to find a different way and find out what their niche is in a sense. But really good for him to showcase his talents at an event like this. But did you have any extra notes or anything to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the theme with the South team on Wednesday's practice was interior offensive line just dominating the interior defensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Lloyd Cushenberry. I love Ben Bartsch. Love all these guys. But the guy that really caught my eye, because Ben Bartsch and Cushenberry caught my eye on Tuesday. So, like, I knew they were going to be good on Wednesday. I think they're just those kind of players that rise up to competition. But the guy who really caught my eye on Wednesday was Keith Ishmael from San Diego State.
Yeah.
Man, he can move. He can move. And that's what you see on San Diego State tape. He can move, you know, reach three techniques, get to the second level, wall off defenders, you know, get to the, you know, block linebacker up there second level. But I believe that, you know, the biggest thing with him was that play strength. Again, I think he'll reach that 300 mark, 6'3", 300 the weigh-ins. Big for him. But, man, he was consistently winning in every pass protection drill he was in. And like I said, one-on-one reps for centers, pass protection drills, not always a good time for those guys. You know, getting bull rush, not really a realistic setting. But he held his own, I think, better than any center here so far. Even more than Cushenberry. Cushenberry had some reps to work. You know, he had some struggles with strength. But I think Ishmael, to me, looked like the best pure center in pass protection drills this week. And he doesn't gain as much, you know, leg drive in the run game as Cushenberry does. But I think he does his job. And I think it's all you need to do. And from a zone blocking perspective, I think this guy's going to fit a lot of criteria for those zone blocking teams. Movement skills, ability to get his head around. I'm a big fan of Ishmael. Don't be surprised if he's a top 100 pick, because I've heard a lot of buzz from him being one of those top five or six centers in this draft.
Definitely excited about him. Another guy I definitely need to go back and watch again, just because I didn't watch a whole bunch of film coming into the event, but he definitely is a name that I wrote down as somebody else that I need to go back and study a bit more. But we are the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am Jordan Reed. He is Jonah Tolles. Thank you guys for listening. That is a wrap for day two at the Senior Bowl. We are going to bring you another podcast, of course, after we watch the third and final day of practice. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow.